All right. Here we go. We're up to chapter 11. Another nega I will bring. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shakol Nieh Bidvarai.
Right.
Hashem says to Moshe, "Ode, nega echad, another nega. Avi, I'll bring up Parvi al Mitzrayim. Yachrechin. Afterwards, Yishlach Eschem Yizeh. He will send you out of here. Kishalachoi, Kishalachoi. When he sends you out, Kala, completely goresh, Yigoresh Eschem Yizeh. Okay, he will let you go, and when he lets you go, he will drive you out of here. He will drive you out of here, one and all. There's a lot of verbosity in this pasuk. There are a lot of extra words, and it's really not so clear exactly what the pasuk is trying to say. So let's see right away what Rashi says and try to make sense out of this. Rashi here says in this pasuk, kola, gimera. The word kola means completely, kolil. Then he trans the word. Now the word gimera, I think, is unkelus. Okay, the word gimera is. Open up the Targum. Targum says, "Is here's a Targum." But Amar Shem Moshe Od another Mach Tash Chad another Maka Icy Al Paro the Al Mitzrayim Boss Arkein Yishlach Yoschein Mika from here. He will send you out over here from here. Kishalach Husay Gimera. So you see the word Gimera is an Aramaic word. And Rashi says, Kola Gimera. Rashi's quoting the Targum. Rashi here Kola quotes the Targum, Gimera. And then he translates the word into Hebrew, Kolil. Completely. Kulchem, all of you, Yishalach. All of you he will send forth. So Rashi is giving us three translations. Number one, the Aramaic translation. Number two, the Hebrew translation. Number three, the message. The message is, all of you, Yishalach, he will send forth. Okay, or kulchem. So it's like the word kulchem. All of you, he will send. Three. It's interesting, Rashi gives three translations for this one word. Kola, Aramaic, kolil, completely. The message, all of you, he will send forth. Okay, what does the Targum say? V'mashem l'mosha od mak tash chad, one another mako. Aisi al paro, I will bring on paro v'al mitzrayim. Bosar Kane, Yishlach Yoschon, he will send you Mika from here. Kishalach Husay, when he sends you forth, Gimera, it will be completely. Goresh Yigoresh, Torocho Yisorech. What's the word Torocho Yisorech? I guess it means to drive out. What is it in English? He will actually drive you out from here completely. Kolo Goresh Yigoresh. All right. Fine. Let's now take a look over here what it says in the next pasuk. Pasuk beis. Daber, speak v'yoznei ha'am, speak in the ears of the people, v'yishalu, and they shall ask. Ish me'es re'eyu, v'isha me'es re'usa, k'le chesef u'chle zahav. Okay, so here, Hashem is saying to Moshe, daber no. Now, this is a very good example of machloikis between Rashi and the Targum. Rashi says, "No, ain no elo l'shoin bakosha. No means a request. Bivakosha mimcha. I'm asking you a favor. Has Hireim al kach warned the Jewish people regarding this matter? Shelo yoimar oisoy tzadik avram. So that Avram avinu the tzadik shnatze v'avodim vinu yosam kiim bohem." That the commandment of the Hashem Avodim, he enslaved them and he tortured them, he fulfilled. But the Achrechen Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol Lo Kiyem Bohem. I want to make sure that the Tzaddik, okay, this is a very interesting thing. First of all, we're calling Avraham a Tzaddik. This is a very big topic to go search and find who did Chazal call a Tzaddik? Who is called a Tzaddik? To find the individuals in Tanakh that are called a tzaddik. You see here that the Chazal call Avraham a tzaddik. I think most people wouldn't say that. Most people, they don't call Avraham a tzaddik. They call Yosef a tzaddik. They call, who else they call a tzaddik? Noach. Noach ish tzaddik. Right? Noach ish tzaddik. And Yosef, Chazal, doesn't say in the pasuk. It says Yosef, It is a pasuk. It says they sold the tzaddik bavur na'alayim. There's a pasuk that calls Yosef a tzaddik. It's a drasha. We call him a tzaddik. Okay, so we do call Yosef a tzaddik. Okay, so we have over here this Rashi calling Avraham Avinu a tzaddik. So if no is lashon bakasha, to make sure that Avraham Avinu should not complain. What does the Targum say? Malel ke'an. Okay, this is something which is throughout the entire Chumash. Targum always translates the word now. Okay, this is something which is very common in the Targum. Ka'an means now. Okay, let's go further. Malel ka'an now kodem amo v'yishalun givar each man min chaver from his friend. V'itisoy woman min chaverta monin dichsaf utensils of silver umonin didohof. Okay, so fine. Machloikis between Rashi and Rashi obviously saw what the Targum wrote. Malel ka'an means now. Look at the English. In the English it says, speak please now. Now, what else is saying? Kodom be'oznei ha'om. Oh, another very interesting thing we learned yesterday, and that is in the ears. Be'oznei ha'om. And the Targum says, kodom amo, before the people. Okay, we had this again yesterday. The Targum over here is coming to ignore the words. He's coming to ignore the word Oznei Ha'am. And he's translated the word Oznei Ha'am as Kodom Amo. V'yishalun givar min chavrei. Fine. V'yishalu, by the way, means V'yishalu means to request. Okay. Maybe we should take a look over here at the Ma'at Sari. Let's see what he says over here about this idea. Chapter Yud Aleph. What does he say here? Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis. Okay, Daber No. Okay, Ka'an. Ato. I'm going to read you what it says over here. Ato now. V'chein perish hachizkuni. V'choysef sh'ein shuchus b'davar sh'arei oid ma'at yoytzim. There's no more time. Okay, so very good. Over here, very well, what it says over here, Ka'an. And he says something very interesting. He says, the Chuskuni says, why does it say now? Because if Klal Yisrael would have asked the Egyptians for money to borrow previously, then the Jewish people would not have left. They would want it back. They would come and make a demand, give it back to us. Now, like we said, timing is everything. Hashem wanted it to be that they would go out with Rechush Gadol. If they would, the Jewish people would have demanded the clothing, to borrow gold and silver and clothing, let's say after Makas Dam, then the Egyptians would say, well, listen, we lent it to you, give it back to us. Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, Arav, Dever, Shrin. It's only now, that they're about to leave. Because right now is right before Makas Bechoris. And then they're going to leave. And they're not coming back. So they're going to have in their possession all of the utensils, the gold and the silver. If they would have asked them after the other Makos, and they would not have left, they didn't leave for 6 months. The Makos took, I think, over a span of time of 6 months, I think it was. It was a year. They would have certainly demanded to get back what they lent them. And if they would demand to get back what they lent them, so they would end up leaving Egypt with nothing in their possession. So it is precision. It's only because they made the request now, at this moment, that they succeed in taking these things out of Egypt. Therefore, it's very good that it says, Daber no, now. Now is the time to ask, because now you're going to leave, and now they're never going to ask for it back. If you would have made this request previously, then you would not have been successful. Okay, so the Arav of Chiddush. That's one very nice Chiddush on the Atzari. What else does he say over here in this Pasuk? Ask Kadam, you know, he doesn't explain that. Kadam, he says this Lefi HaKavana. Kadam over here means, like I said, he's ignoring the translation of the word Oznei. And then it's Chavrei, V'chein Targum V'ish El Re'eyu. Aval Yeshem Targum Re'a Rachima V'chira. V'tzachim Yeshem Shekhov V'chim 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 All right, so this is a very fascinating thing over here. What he points out, min chaverta. See, I didn't pay attention to this. Gvar min chavrei, v'itasa min chaverta. What would have been the correct, in other words? Chavrei, avyesh rea, rachima. Okay, so there are other words. Rea. So over here, he's coming over here to ask the question, why did the Targum choose the word Chavrei and not the word Re'a? He has a whole collection of words here that are used for a friend. So someone wants to say as follows. This is the Drush. Daber no biyozne ha'am v'yish'alu ish me'es re'ehu. Moshe Rabbeinu told the people not to borrow from the Egyptians. He told them to borrow from one another. Each Jew should borrow clothing and utensils from each other. So everyone should be the same. It's similar to what it says by Yom HaKippurim. On Yom Kippur and on Tu B'Av, all of the girls went out into the vineyard and they danced. And the boys would come and look at the girls. And the boys would select for themselves a girl. And when they did this, it says, Beferish in the Gemara, that when they went to go dance, when the girls went to go dance, the girls would borrow clothing from one another. No one would wear their own clothing. Everyone would borrow a dress from somebody else. And the Kohen Gadol would borrow from this one. The whole Gemara is a whole thing. No one should be wearing their own clothing. Why not? I don't know. There's a whole discussion why not, because I guess the clothing shouldn't fit. Maybe the clothing shouldn't fit. It should not be too tight, too loose. I don't know. Or no one should be rich or poor. A boy should not look at the clothing and right away figure out if the girl's a rich girl or a poor girl. No one really knows. Everyone should borrow clothing from one another. So you see such a principle that when Klal Yisrael was getting, when people were getting ready for something very holy, to get married, they borrowed clothing from one another. According to some of the Mefarshim, it does not say here that the Jews should borrow from the Egyptians. The Jews should borrow from one another. So Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, "Eino elosh makasha bevakasha mimcha hashirei malkach shlo yoimar oisay tzadik Avraham ve'avodim v'noyasam kimchem v'achlechin yesu b'chushkado loykiyim." According to Rashi, they're borrowing from the Egyptians. But not everyone agrees with Rashi. Some said maybe Taka, they did not take out anything from the Egyptians. And it just means now that the people, when they're leaving Egypt, everyone should leave Egypt in clothing that belongs to their neighbor, to their friend. That way, you have to delve, well, why would they want to do that? What is the depth? It's not the only time we have, like I told you. When they came to Shidduchim, they borrowed clothing from one another. So here also, Daber no bi'ozneho, bi'yishalu ish me'esre'ehu. So what would be a proof to that? Because the Targum translates the word re'ehu with the word chavre. And it does not translate the word typically re'a. Re'a would mean, there's a whole question, was the re'ehu means a goy? Each man from his fellow Gentile friend. And that's a little bit difficult because a goy is not our friend. They're not our friends. They want to kill us. So re'eu has more of a connotation of your fellow Jew. and you're leaving Mitzrayim wearing clothing that does not belong to you, maybe it's a humiliating. Maybe when a person is wearing clothing, again, the girls, when they went for Shidduchim, everyone got dressed in different clothing. Why? Okay, I mean, there are different interpretations. I would what resonates with me is you feel, it's humbling. You don't feel the top of your game. When a person wears his clothing, there's a certain shtat, gaiva. This is who I am. These are my clothing. You know, not everyone today dresses so well. So certain people, the way really a person should dress like a prince. Person really should, you know, I mean, most people that I know are not big dressers. Okay, but there are people that are. There are people that dress meticulously. They wouldn't walk out of the house not wearing polished shoes and having their pants pressed. You know, they dress like, you know, like a prince, halavai by everyone. That's really the way to go. When you dress with your own clothing, you feel a certain gaiva, you feel a certain, you feel that, you know, you're in control. This is who I am. When you're not wearing your own clothing, it's an uncomfortable feeling. When a woman, she's looking to get married, maybe it's a humbling experience to put in her mind, you don't have to marry the best boy. You can marry a boy, all the boys are good boys. Don't be so selective, so picky in who you want to marry. It's a humbling experience when you're not wearing your own clothing. Some people tell me that when they go to weddings, so the women, if you look carefully, the labels are still in the garments, so they can return the dresses the next day to the department stores. Did you ever hear of that before? May, did you ever hear of that before?
Yeah. You that's did? Why some stores will not accept returns from a certain zip code. If they know you're coming from Borough Park or coming from Lakewood, the store will not accept a return.
Because they know that you wore it and you, for a wedding and you're returning, yeah. You're returning it. Okay, so... so, it says over here, V'yish'alu ish... It's not a comfortable thing to go to a wedding and you're not wearing the clothing and you know you have to return it the next day. You feel like, you know, this is not my clothing. It's a humbling experience. So when they left Egypt, they were humbled by wearing clothing that does not belong to them. Is the Targum coming to disagree with Rashi? Why is Rashi coming to make such a big point out of this? And he says, you better go. Maybe Rashi saw what the Targum said, Chavrei. And the word chavrei means, in Aramaic, if we were experts in Aramaic, we would know that the word chavrei means your Jewish friend, not your Gentile friend, your Jewish friend. And Moshe was trying to humble the Jewish people before they left. Hashem, humble before you leave. When you leave Egypt, don't leave Egypt wearing your clothing. Wear someone else's clothing. It'll change your attitude, your mindset, your frame of mind. And when Rashi saw what the Targum said, he says, I don't like this pshat. Don't go tell me that the Jewish people, every single person was wearing clothing that belonged to his neighbor when they left. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. When it says re'eh, it means a Gentile. And the reason why Moshe told them to do this was because in the kind of the pasuk, v'yachrechen yetzu b'ruchosh gadol. I'm trying to suggest that there's a massive, massive, major machlokes between Rashi and Unkelis as to the taich of the word re'ehu, a Jewish friend or a non-Jewish friend, and it depends upon what exactly is the purpose of borrowing the clothing. All right, that's what we're taking out of this entry in what it says over here. Okay, now, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk 3. Vayitain Hashem eschein on b'nei Mitzrayim. Hashem was yitain. Okay. I'm putting you on mute, Meir. Vayitain Hashem delivered eschein ha'am b'chein of the people b'nei Mitzrayim. Gam hu ish Moshe, godol me'oid be'eretz Mitzrayim. V'nei avdei faru v'nei ha'am. Moshe was held in the highest esteem. Okay, let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi and this pasuk says, no Rashi. Would you believe it? Such a powerful pasuk. No Rashi. Targum on this pasuk. V'yihav Hashem yos amo. Hashem gave amo l'rachamin. Rashi, the word chen is a very, very hard word to translate. very, very hard. And it's important to note that the Targum translates the word lerachamin. Lerachamin. We hear in the English it says favor. I'm not so sure if that's what it really means. And it's in the Unkel. Unkel is, that's how the English is translating the Targum. But the word lerachamin means mercy. The people had rachmanis. Moshe was Gadol Rav Lichadoh. He was singularly great. In the eyes of the nation. Okay, what does it say over here? That's it. Okay, let me see over here. It's in the Sefer. I'm sorry. Yos Amo Targum Kilu Loshon Hakosav Yidna Shem Eschaam Esaol Lichein Beinai Lichein Tirgim. Okay, no, nothing more. Let's go for the Pasuk Dalet. Vayoyimer Moshe. Moshe says Koyamar Hashem. So says Hashem. Kachatzoy Salaylo. Ani Yotzei B'Soich Mitzrayim. Moshe said that Kachatzoy. That the Kof is a very important letter. It means basically over here in English. It's interesting how they translate the word in English. Toward. It doesn't say at midnight. In the English, it says toward midnight. Ka. It doesn't say bichatzois. It doesn't say in the pasuk of beis bichatzois at exactly midnight, but instead it says kachatzois. The English translator took the word kachatzois toward midnight. I don't know what it says in the article. I would imagine the article, if I was translating, I would say approximately. At approximately midnight, toward, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, toward would seem to be a little bit before. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But I would think in my very limited knowledge of the English language that the word toward means a little bit before. In the vicinity of the evening coming close to midnight, before midnight, not after midnight. But that's not really what it says. It says kachatzos. Kachatzos means approximately. Approximation means a little bit before, a little bit after. It could also include the word after. Toward would seem to be, have a flavor of being before and not after. Am I wrong or right? I don't know. So I take issue with what it says over here. Not that I can do better. And let's see what it says over here in... So there Rashi, what does Rashi say? Rashi over here says... Vayoyimer Moshe Kama Hashem ba'omel lifnei paro nemer loy nevuazu sharei mishayotzem milafonov loy chosef ro'ois ponov. So Rashi is asking a question. Rashi says that Moshe says he's not going to ever see paro again. He's not going to see paro again. So when did Moshe say this? In the previous psuk we learned yesterday, Moshe at the paro, I'm leaving. I'm never going to see you again. I'm never going to see your face again. So how then was Moshe ever able to say this nevuah? So the answer is before he left, before he stepped out, he said this nevuah. But because after he left, he never saw him again. Now it says kachatzay salayla keheicholek halayla. So he says over here keheicholek when the night splits, when the evening splits down the center, which seems to mean exactly kachatzoyis, and the chaf, the entire chaf is being used according to Rashi's first interpretation to mean. The splitting, when the night will split. Kachatzois kemo ba'alois. You see, he says, kachatzois, the chof, it's as if there is a base. Just like there's ba'alois, bacharois apam banu, he gives examples, zeu pshutoi liyashvoi al ofnov. This is a simple translation to explain according to ofnov. What does ofnov mean? Here we have a translation. How does he translate the word ofnov on its... I always wanted a good translation for that. For that word, which fits into its sense, to fit it into its, which fits in with the sense. I don't like that translation. All right, fine. Let's go back to the Hebrew. Okay, that's the Pshut Shel Mikra. And then he says, the rabbis say, nu darshuhu, our rabbis, they expound, kimo kachatzi kachatzi, which means approximately, kachatzi. Kachatzi, seeing this word kachatzi and kachatzois. I'm not sure the difference. The amru Moshe kachatzois shemashma samuch loy. Ol lefanov, ol leacharov. See, either a little bit before, a little bit after. Not like what it says here in the English toward. Veloy amar bachatzois, the base. Shema yitu itztagnine paro. Maybe they will make a mistake. V'yoymu Moshe badayu, he's a liar. Now, it's tagnine is not really a good word for our understanding. I think there's something very deep over here. Look in the translation, because maybe prowess astrologers. Now, is that the right word? Maybe Paro's astrologers might make a mistake. When you want to define midnight, you don't go to an astrologer. Who do you go to? You go to an expert on time. An astrologer is a person that looks into the stars. Well, let me go now in front of you, and we'll look up the precise meaning of astrologer. I don't think this word, it's tagnine. It says the word, it's tagnine. Okay? Astrologer. It's an O-R. It's an O in the, okay, astrologer.
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 And what does it say in the R? You see over here on my screen what it says here on my screen? A person who use astrology to tell others about their character or to predict their future. Okay, so translation, more definitions. Let's move, okay, 1 second over here. Oops, 1 second over here. Okay, more definitions. A person who uses astrology to translate. Okay, he was advised by astrologers. Doesn't say anything more. Okay, so this is very disturbing. Because an astrologer is a person who uses astrology to tell others about their character or to predict their future. That's not what's happening over here. Over here, going back to our here it is. 11:4. 1 second till it comes back on the screen. So this is very interesting. Over here, it says in the pasuk, "Kachatzayis approximately." I was saying to Amru, "Kumachatzayil." We Amru Shama Moshe Kachatzayis Shemash Shemach Loi Olufan Ovelachav VeLoi Machatzayis Shema Yitu Itstagnine Paro VeYoyimru Moshe Badaihu. Now, there's something wrong here. Nothing is wrong, but when we were children, this is the way they explain this Rashi. They explain the Rashi is that everyone has a clock in their house, and the clock, when it strikes 12, when the clock strikes 12, ding, and the grandfather clock makes noise, that means it's 12 midnight. It's 12 midnight. Mayor, by the way, if you're trying to talk, by the way, I put you on mute just in case you think you're talking and I'm not responding to you because I put you on mute because there was some noise coming from your machine. So when we learn the word kachatzos, we learn approximately because everyone has in their house a clock. And Moshe said that the firstborns are going to die exactly midnight. And what's the problem? The problem is the Egyptians, their clocks are off. Their clocks can be off by a minute, by 10 seconds, by 1 second. Maybe they're off by an hour. Who knows? They can be off by half an hour. This is primitive times. They don't know exactly what Chatzos is. So they say, oh Moshe, you see, you're just magic. You couldn't predict the time with precision. You couldn't do it with precision. So in order that Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't come with an excuse and say, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know because it happened, did not happen exactly at midnight, it happened a little before. Say, so Moshe, you know what? Don't hold me accountable. I don't need to be held accountable to an exact moment in time at approximately midnight. Now, if that interpretation of what they've taught us in elementary school is correct, then the words of Rashi are incorrect. Shema yitu itstagnine paro. It's not a matter of stargazers. It's a matter of the common man, or what do you mean the itstagnine paro? Everyone. It's a matter of the common man who has in their home some type of technique of telling time by however they told time. In those days, they didn't have clocks. So how would they tell time? How would they be able to predict when it's midnight? I guess they would look at the stars. They had some technique in looking at the stars, if there would be some type of shadow cast from the moon. Yeah, this is taking place on the 14th day. There's almost a full moon. So there's almost a full moon. There's going to be some type of a shadow that is cast because there is moonlight. There's a lot of moonlight on the 14th day of the month. So it's not a matter of stargazers. It is a matter of just of telling time. So why then did it say here it's Tagnini Paro? So it has to be that we have the wrong pshat. And what it means is, it means that I don't know what it means exactly. It means something very, very different than what we think it means. If it's Tagnini Paro, they're looking into the stars, not on the night of Yitzias of Makas Bechoros. They've been looking into the stars for years. They originally told Moshe, they told Paro that we see in the stars that the Moshion Shel Yishol is going to be born. And we see he's going to die by water. And because of that, he made a gzeir, but we don't know if it's going to be a child from Egypt, a child from the Jewish people. We don't even know who the savior is going to be. So it's like Nini Paro, the stargazers, who are trying to predict the future, or as it says in Google, trying to define the character traits of a person. They've been looking in the stars for years, maybe even hundreds of years. They're analyzing the stars and making predictions of the future. And if Moshe is going to say to him that it's going to happen at a precise moment, and there's something that their predictions are going to be off. Okay, this is what I'm trying to suggest is, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but all I'm trying to say is to make this point, is that the interpretation that the common man understands to be correct in this Rashi cannot be correct. Because if it's just a simple matter that Hashem is going to bring the Makas Bechoros at exactly 12 o'clock at night, and the Egyptians are going to look at their clock and they're going to see that it happened at 12:05 or 12:02 or 12 o'clock and 3 seconds or at 11:59 and 59 seconds, they're going to say that this is magic because it did not happen exactly when you said it's going to happen. That cannot be the pshat. Because if that was the pshat, the terminology of Shema Yitu Itztagnine Faro does not fit. Because the Itztagnine Faro, their trade is not to tell time. Their trade is to look into the stars and make predictions regarding a person's mazel, regarding if it'll be rich or poor, if it'll have children, how many children, what's going to happen to the person in their lifetime. It has nothing to do with telling time. If you ever go to a stargazer and he gives you an appointment for, let's say, come see me at 3 o'clock, don't expect the appointment to start on time. He may have to stay in the waiting room until 3:30. Oh, but it's Tagnine, they know time perfectly. No, they don't. They don't know time, nothing. Their expertise is looking at the stars, predicting the future. It's like some of the biggest mathematicians. I know a person who's really, he would have won the Nobel Prize if they gave a Nobel Prize for mathematics. I'm telling you, he cannot add numbers faster than me and you. Me is easy, I can add numbers all together. But he can't do algebra. He was like spaced out. Aluf. He wrote books that would have won Nobel Prizes. He very sophisticated concepts. When it comes to add up basic numbers, ask him to add up a couple of numbers, he can't do it. He can't. It's a different, just because he's a mathematician doesn't mean he knows how to add numbers. Just because you're a stargazer, it doesn't mean you know what time it is. That is the chiddush of tonight. Now, does he over here say anything over here in the Ma'atzar? We didn't do yet the Targum yet. Okay, so now let's look over here at the Targum. Now that we did over here this chiddush, let's see what it says here in the Targum. The Targum disappeared from the page. I don't know why it disappeared from the page. We have to get it back. Targum Unkelis. Vava Moshe. Kindan Omar Hashem, Kindan means so says Hashem, Kifalgus Lil Yo. When the night splits, Ano miskili begoy mishum. I will reveal myself in Egypt. Now, there are a lot of chidushim over here. I will misgili. I will reveal myself. Notice it's in bold, because that's not what it says in the positive. Ani yoytzei. I will go forth. The word yoytzei has a connotation of movement. The word miskili means revelation. There is no movement. It's just a revelation. Begoy means in Mitzrayim, fine. But what's the mean? Kindan means ko. And kifalgus. What does it mean kifalgus? Kifalgus, how do they translate in English? Doesn't mean anything. About. Who says it means about? Who says? About the time of midnight? Who says? Okay, the English translation here sometimes makes up things. Okay, and what is over here? It says, become revealed. Okay, that's pretty good. Now let's see what it says over here in the Ma'at Tzadi, in this pasuk. Kifalgus. Loi tirgim kad peloig. I don't know what he means to say when it will split, but it means in the middle of the night. It's not, I don't know what that means either here. Alright. At least he's saying over here, he's saying something very important. I think now I have a bit more of an appreciation when he's saying over here. This is a very important pasuk, because this is the whole lot of Yisoides of Makas Bechoris. Kachat Sois, right, his first interpretation, he says, Kehei Chole Kalaila. Rashi's second interpretation is Kachatsi halayla. So I think what he's saying, what's the difference between the word kachatsi halayla versus kehecholek halayla? The difference is kehecholek is a moment. It's a verb. When the night splits, when the night is divided, there's an event. There is an event happening where someone is taking a knife and is slicing the knife into two pieces. Kehecholek halayla, when an action is occurring and someone is slicing the knife into two pieces, that's kehecholek. Kachatsi halayla means this event will take place at a location. Instead of it using in time, make believe, let's make believe it means a location. There are different locations. An event can happen in America. An event can happen in Argentina. It can happen in North Korea. It can happen in the Ukraine. It can even happen in Zimbabwe. Events happen in different parts of the world. There's a place called Chatsi Halayla. In the Chatsi Halayla is when this event will happen. In the Chatsi. I'm not going to do an action to split the night, when I split the night into two parts, but rather, there's a moment in time, we travel through time, and when we get to that location in time called the Chatsi Halayla, that's when it's going to happen. That is when it's going to happen. When we come to the moment of Chatsi Halayla, we're traveling, and when we reach in time this moment of Chatsi Halayla, that's when it's going to happen. What's the Chaf? The Chaf means approximately, you know, somewhere on the border between Iran and Iraq. You're traveling from Iraq to Iran. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in this location, approximately on the border. There's a time in the evening called, there's something called the Chatsi Halayla. It's a very precise boundary. And Kachatz, approximately somewhere near on the border. Rashi's first interpretation is very different. It's saying, when Hashem will split the night, Kehecholek, when the night will be split. It's not just that there's precision. It means there's an act action going to take place, an action of the knife being split into two parts, and that split, that's the moment when it's going to happen. Targum, what does he say? What does the Targum say again? Targum says, Kifalgus. It's the second interpretation. Kifalgus means at the half, it's kachatzi. It's a location. And it's approximately when you come to this location in the evening, that's when the night's going to split. And Miskali, he's not really explaining Miskali. It's a revelation, not what Yod say. And Rashi does not mention it. Okay, so let's stop over here. Very interesting. I appreciate you coming and learning with me. If not for you coming and learning with me, I wouldn't learn anything. So I owe you a very big yeshu kach, a very big toyva by coming and listening. Help me keep me busy, stay out of trouble. Okay, everybody, so have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Take care. Thanks for coming. Good night, Ablaze. Good night, Hashi. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.